Good job. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We had a great celebration of life yesterday for Dan, and we are just going to continue to praise the Lord today. We're just thankful that we can be here and just have the joy of praising God. Let's see, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday. I encourage you to come to prayer meeting. It's on Zoom, so you don't have to go anywhere. You can sit in your own house or in bed, for that matter. Do whatever you want. But keep your jammies on and just come and pray with us. It's great to pray for each other. And we have gleaners on Wednesdays. The food gets here. They open it up at 11 o'clock, and it's usually gone by 11:10, so. Oh. Or 11:55, okay. And we are having, we're having potluck today, so I'm encouraging you to stay for potluck. And I have a couple of things I just want to talk about while we're at potluck, just while we're eating. It's nothing like a major thing, but I just want to keep everybody informed, but there's things coming up, and I don't know what to decide on. I don't want to make the decision. I want everybody to make it. So encourage you to stay for that. Men's retreat, March 24th to the 26th. Men always have such a great time down at Rockaway. So see Bill, and I encourage you to go. It will be a great time for the men, I'm sure. Easter Sunday, instead of potluck, they're going to have a potluck breakfast. So that will be great because you can come about 9. I think it starts at 9:30. So before the service, come and fellowship and have breakfast, and should be a good time. More information to come. I think we should have like a sign-up sheet so we don't have all casseroles or something. So, and on the 21st and 22nd of April is the Women's Connection. And some of us are going. Anybody that's interested, women, why just... It's right at the Aloha Church of God, so it's not far. Okay, registrations are due the beginning of April. So if you're interested in going, it'd be a great time. So, and I think we're going to try to go to both Friday night and Saturday, right? So Donna's not answering me. Oh, okay. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful to be here today. We're thankful for this place that we can come and just worship you and praise your name. We thank you for Robert to come cheer today while our pastor is gone. Just be with him, Lord. Just open our hearts to what he has to share today. Be with us as we sing our worship, Lord. Just let us sing praises to you. And just let it be a joyful noise to you. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can be together in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to tell you. And you know what? I have to get my glasses. So I heard from Pastor Teresa this morning, and I wanted to share with you guys because it's so I told her that we had a great service yesterday, and thanks for the thing that she had me read. And she said, "My hosts are great. I've been on Mount Nebo, visited the Memorial Church of Moses, floated in the Dead Sea, seen Jericho, dipped my hand in the Jordan River, and will head to Israel tomorrow morning." So she's getting to do a lot.
Yeah. Hope she takes pictures.
And she also said she went to Jerash, a city of ruins. It was fascinating. And camel crossing with little ones, too. So she got to see the camels.
Wow.
So she's seeing a lot. So we're praising God for her. That's good that she's doing it. All right. So let's go to our call to worship. Prayer? I did pray.
You missed it.
I did prayer. Oh, we can, but we can keep praying. Okay, well, we'll sing. How about that? So we're going to go to "There is Joy in the Lord." That's always a good, exciting song. So you can stand, and we'll sing "There's Joy in the Lord."
There it is.
Okay.
Trust in his promise, I will shout. I am free in my blessed, loving Savior. I have sweet victory. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. I will live for the Savior. I am his evermore. I am resting in his favor. I am safe and secure. For the light shining brighter on my path every day. Choose my happy soul with rapture as I walk in the way. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory, there is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. When I come to the portals of that land of the blessed, I shall sing with holy angels of this rest, happy rest. I shall dwell there forever with my Lord and my King, and with everlasting praises make those high arches ring. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord.
Amen. Love that song.
Ooh. to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. Cause He gave His everything. Cause He gave His everything. He came to live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones His love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. Cause He gave His everything. Cause He gave His everything.
Love that song. All right. Thank you, Lord.
I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tender snare by the hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wing shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my
Good morning, Gales Tree Church. Those here, those in the internet, and those in spirit, God blessings to you all. Now is the time we get to give back and just try to outgive God if you can. It won't happen. He's too good. So let us take our tithes and offerings. And those of you that are joining us online today, don't forget, Tithely is a place where you can also give when you're not able to be here. Father God, thank you for the many blessings you have given us. Family, friends, mentors, witnesses who have gone before. Finances, homes, cars, jobs, and divine appointments along the way. Please accept these gifts back, Father, as you've commanded, and multiply them 10 times over back to your servants. Amen. And now we get to be family and share all of our needs and praises. Continued prayer for the Kroom family as they continue to grieve, but a praise for an amazing, I'm not going to call it a memorial service, I'm going to call it a celebration. It was a homecoming. It is a homecoming, and someday I'm going to come home. Amen? Amen. So, it was a great homecoming service for Dan yesterday. Bill. Pray for Jerry and Tim and the divine appointments that Bill had with them yesterday, and that they will take what he gave them, God's word, and it will affect their lives. And can anybody say there's anything more that's affected them than the word of God? I don't know, man. For me, that has been the most. Love from you guys, number two, without a doubt. But the truth of who he is revealed to me. Amen. So, Jerry and Tim, lift those two up. Hearts touched yesterday. I want to lift up Jeremy Kroom, one of Dan's grandsons. I could see, I was hovering in the back there, and I could see just how impacted he's been by this, and his dad, Tim, as well. But I could see how impacted he was, and I asked him to come ring the bell with me, because I hoped that would help him put a little pin in his day. And so prayer for him. I know he is emotionally just a wreck. Yeah. Anybody else have something to share? A praise or a request? Oh, I got one more. Sorry. Sarah and Claire are on the way home from a dance competition. So prayer for safe travel. And this might be almost borderline TMI, but last night, Claire threw up, and she's thrown up like 5 times this morning on the way home, and she's not feeling well, so pray for her to feel well. Yeah. Yeah. At least she did it after the competition. We've survived. Robert, you don't even know how grateful I am you're here. I've managed a single parent. Carolyn. And pray for Becky, yes. Carolyn says she's grateful for the church family and to continue to pray for Becky Kroon directly. Absolutely. Jeremy. You had a great visit with your brother Bill on Friday. Nice. Rhonda. I don't know what it is, but I'm smiling for you. So Rhonda is lifting up a huge praise to God for something she's been praying about for 6 or 7 months. And God is doing amazing things with that continued request. So now it is a praise. Landon. Okay, Landon, we're going to pray for Claire that she feels better, okay? Okay. Josh. So prayer for an upcoming appointment on May 15th to deal with the diagnosis of fibrosis. Is that correct? Okay. So Josh's ultrasound came back and he has fibrosis in the liver. And so prayer for that. Okay. If you lose the weight, I'll try not to find it, I promise. Maybe we can lose some together. Prayer for Lori Cooper and her memory. She's really struggling. Just prayer for Lori. She's got to be somewhat lonely now. Yeah. Fred. Okay, prayer. Our praise that the ladies had a Friday lunchtime fellowship. Is that what it was? Yeah, awesome. Impromptu is the best sometimes. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yes, Landon. Are you forgetting it right now? Okay, if you remember, put your hand up again, okay? Okay, you remember? Okay, so Landon wants us to pray that he can learn to count by 7, 8s, and 9s. He's working on memorizing his multiplication facts. Yes. Okay, Fred. Absolutely. So prayer for the light of this church to reach this community from the cross to their hearts, our hearts to theirs. Praise for Ty, Vicky's grandson this week, figured out what was causing his dizziness. So we return thanks to God for that. That was on the prayer chat earlier. The group me prayer chat. So. Okay. Anybody else? Last praise or prayer request to share with the body? Then let's go together in prayer. Great God Almighty, quiet our hearts. Open our minds. And pour in your great love for us. Thank you for being God Almighty. So we don't have to. Because Lord, you've seen our screw-ups when we try. Thank you that we can trust you to be God. And trust you to know what is right and wrong. For us, each and every one of us. And thank you for giving us so many blessings that we truly cannot count them. Your love is unassuming and pervasive. So overload our hearts with it today for ourselves and for this community. And for every divine appointment you bring our way. Lord, let hearts that have been touched recently at several memorial services here be turned back to you, to salvation. Bring them in the doors of this church. Bring revival to Gales Creek and revival to their hearts and ours. Lord, forgive us this last week when we said an unkind word, had an unkind thought, or forgot to take the moment to be with you. Or when we saw a divine appointment and we ran away. Or we let frustration rule our day. Lord, we lift up many that are in need, Lord. Many hearts that were touched yesterday, but hearts that are hurting from Dan's memorial service, Lord. We just ask that you, Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of every heart that was here so that those that are ready to open can find salvation, become part of your great kingdom. That Dan's life, we know, not lived in vain, but would be bearing of more fruit. Lord God, let us be ready to receive that fruit here at Gales Creek. Thank you, Lord God, for what you will do with us here. Lord, there are many illnesses and needs going on, Lord, just for my daughter and whatever her tummy bug is, Lord, help that work out quickly. Give my wife and her safe travels home. And Lord, for those that memories are failing, Lord, let not the memory of their salvation ever fade. So be with Lori Cooper, Lord. Give her peace in her days and give her a strong recounting of her faith and those that mean the most to her. Lord, be with the miracles you are producing. Lord, I hear one going on in Rhonda's life now, so we lift up praise to you. Lord, for the miracles that are going to happen from the New Testaments that Bill gave out yesterday, we lift up that praise to you. Lord God, for Jeremy Kroom, his heart hit mine yesterday, Lord. Give him peace. Be a balm of Gilead to his soul. Holy Spirit, overwhelm him with love because you are what he needs more than anything else. And Lord, for many other needs expressed here and many other praises, we just give you the glory for what you have done and will do. Father, we lift up our leaders before you. You tell us in Scripture to pray for those who are in leadership over us. So, Lord, regardless of their faith, regardless of their wisdom, regardless of their choices that we like or dislike, we lift them up to you. Knock on their hearts, impart wisdom, so that your prevenient grace may be lived out through their choices, that all may be blessed. That the United States may be a shiny city upon a hill in a dark world. Give them the wisdom to govern in a way that makes everyone blessed from you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, kiddos. All two of you. Come on, Landon. The 9-year-old dropped something. There you go. Come on, Bubba. We got another song to sing. Yeah, you did a great job singing some of Sweet Hour of Prayer this morning, too. Yeah, I think there's joy and some joy. Okay, we've got see the hearts, see four hearts. How many times do you think we're going to say joy?
Four.
Okay, you ready?
One times four is four.
You ready? I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. The love of Jesus, love of Jesus, down in my heart. Where? In my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the love of Jesus, down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I think one of those kind of joking verses that was made up in my family was, I have the blessed belief that baffles the Buddhist way down in the depths of my heart. Yeah. Father God, thank you for the hearts you have given us in these children, Lord. Let their heart always be guided by yours. When we can't be with them, when we are not there, or when we make poor guidance choices, Lord, please be there with them, always providing straight ways to their paths that lead to your kingdom. Amen. All right, guys, let's go sit down.
Have Robert come and share with us again, and we're so happy to see him. So let's give him good welcomes.
I'll send greetings from my wife, Linda. She had planned on coming with me today, and about 5 o'clock yesterday evening, we got a text from my daughter-in-law. Said, we need your help, Grandma. So she's not here today. She had planned to be here. But she is thinking about us. I appreciate so much the worship and even the worship with the kids, because the verse I was thinking of was, I have the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Right? The wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths. Where? Yeah, down in the depths of my heart. Worship is such an exciting thing. Worship transforms lives. And I know I started off in ministry as a worship and youth leader. But the power of worship is something that I appreciate so much. You know, it's so easy for us, especially men, to watch the Blazers hit a three-pointer and win in overtime and go, yeah, or the Seahawks to win or the Mariners to win. You know, I just did that just for you, because normally I'd say the Warriors, 49ers, and the Giants. But I know where I'm at right now, so I had to change that. But it's so easy to lift your hands in praise, and yet we find it so hard to do it in church. I don't know why. It says to lift holy hands in prayer. And the thing is, when we look at that, to me, it's just become natural in response to respond to the Spirit of God leading me physically. So this is not just praise. What else is this? Yeah, it's praising. But surrender. When we worship, sometimes we're saying, praise you, God, for who you are and what you're doing. Sometimes the Spirit's conviction comes upon us and we should be raising our hands. How can we sing that age-old song, I surrender all, and not lift our hands in surrender? And what is this? This is not only, I receive your blessings and I receive what you pour and your love and your forgiveness into my life, but we also this to say, God, I offer up to you my life, My money, my talents, my time. So it's not just receiving when we lift our hands, palms up. It's also offering up to God. And what about this? This is not a sign of protest. It's not. We can't let the world steal that from us. That is a way of honoring, saying, God, you are the King of Kings. Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. And I bow my knee to affirm who you are in my life. So don't let anyone steal. I mean, when I was a kid, I went to the altar so many times and bowed my knee because I needed love. I needed forgiveness. I needed help. I needed guidance. And it's a shame that we don't allow that to happen sometimes. But that's not just not bowing on one knee. Why do I say that? Yeah, but it's also saying, God, I need your mercy. Yeah, mercy. You know, grace is he gives something we can never buy or earn. Asking for mercy is saying, God, don't give me what I deserve. I deserve to be punished. And God, have mercy on me because I've sinned or I've failed. God, have mercy on me. And we bow on our knees and say, God, I need your mercy today. For whatever failures, whatever shortcomings, whatever giving into temptation we've had, I need your mercy. Those are all acts of worship that we need to express to God. And, you know, that's why worship is so important to me, and I love it. I like to do it not just in church, but I do it privately because it's what helps me grow in my faith. Okay, that's extra. Okay, that's not what I'm speaking of today. There was a little girl who went to school on the first day. She came home from school, and her mom asked her, "Did you learn anything?" And the little girl responded, "Apparently, not enough. I have to go back tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day." When I heard that story, I thought about how I've been associated and affiliated with the Church of God from the age of 5 and been in ministry since 1977, serving. And I stopped and I thought, how many sermons have you heard in your lifetime? Gosh, yeah, some of us are like, whoa, that's mind-blowing. And for a pastor, when you're preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night, and you're doing a Wednesday night lesson, and you're teaching a Sunday school, son, you think, man, I've been through this thing so many times. But it is amazing how we need to go over the word over and over, because somehow God brings new revelation. He brings new insight. He brings new understanding into the scriptures time and time and time again. That's why we go to church. And I always tell people, you have to put yourself in a position to let God speak to you. If you don't put yourself in that position, you're not going to hear the voice of God. You're not going to hear the Holy Spirit leading you. I'm leading a group of a small group of men, and the reason they wanted to come together was they wanted to give an opportunity for God to speak into their lives. And that's what we come to church for on Sunday. I come because I want to be informed of what the scriptures say. I want to be given insight in what the scriptures say. And I want to receive inspiration to do what the scriptures say. That's why we're here. That's why we come, because that's what God wants. And hopefully we want what he wants. And that's when we see the Spirit move in power in our lives. I say that because the text I'm going to use today is a very familiar passage that you probably heard sermon on all your life. Okay? And so let's just dig into the Word. Stories from Mark chapter 5. I have these glasses on. They say I have cataracts now. At my age, you start getting those things. And it's between where I don't need them and I need them. And it's hard to figure out which one is better. So I'm going to do this without them. But very familiar story from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake. A large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." So Jesus went. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Does that sound familiar for some of us? When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her sufferings. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your sufferings." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brothers of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Tabitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. As we open it today, as we read it, may your Holy Spirit speak to us in power, we ask in Jesus' name. Okay, let's understand. We first got to understand, who's Jairus? Okay. Who is Jairus? He was, at this point, a desperate man. His daughter was sick. He was the ruler of the synagogue. He kind of oversaw the activities in the synagogue. He wasn't a priest, but he was chosen to organize and plan the temple activities. He was a well-respected person in the community. It was a huge responsibility he held as the leader of the synagogue. His attitudes toward Jesus at this point should have been one of disdain. He may have even been in on the plot that the religious leaders had at that time to kill Jesus. But when you're desperate, your need outweighs your pride. When I was in my men's group just this last week, one of them said, "When it comes to your children, you'll do anything. And when it comes to God the Father, when it comes to his children, us, he did everything." His daughter was more important than his rank and position in life. It would take courage because of his position in the community. It would be risking the ridicule and disdain of his peers. But love always outweighs everything else. His faith in the doctors had not panned out. His faith in his money didn't help solve the problem and was wasted. His faith in his rank and position as respected religious leader in the community was of no consequence. Everything he knew and depended upon in life was not working. His daughter was dying. But this Jesus had healed the sick, had performed miracles. Could Jesus possibly be his last hope, his only hope? his last resort. But many of his peers hated Jesus. They mocked and rejected him as a phony. They were plotting to kill him. But what if Jesus really is the Son of God? What if Jesus had the power to heal and the authority to control the elements? Jairus had tried everything else and nothing worked. But what would his friends say? What about his reputation in the community? How would they respond if he goes to Jesus? It could cost him his job. It could cost him his reputation. It would jeopardize his future if he dared to go to Jesus. In today's culture, what? He'd be canceled, right? He'd be canceled. But what's more important? The life of his daughter, his reputation, or his job, or his friends? His priority was his child. That's God's priority for us, right? We are his children. Now, you got to understand, Jairus was in those religious leaders and they wanted to kill Jesus, but look what Jesus had done. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to 26, Jesus cast out a demon. These scriptures are up here. In Mark chapter 1, 29, 31, Jesus heals the mother of Simon Peter and Andrew. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, a man with leprosy is brought by his friends to Jesus. They tear a hole in the roof and lower him down into the room, and Jesus heals him. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals a paralyzed man. In Mark chapter 3, the leaders went to trap him, so they bring a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath to see if Jesus would heal him, and he did. In Mark chapter 3 also, many were healed, and Jesus cast out an evil spirit, who incidentally, when the evil spirit came out, proclaimed that Jesus was the Son of God. In Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41, Jesus calms the storm. Interesting about this is that the disciples had Jesus healed, seen him cast out demons, but when he calmed the storm, they were extremely frightened. That's amazing. After seeing everything Jesus had done, he calms the storm, and they said, "Whoa, who is this guy?" Amazing. They realized he not only had power over the spiritual and physical, he had power over creation. And it blew their minds. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus heals a man possessed by numerous demons. And so Jairus must come to the conclusion, this is my only hope. He's the only answer to my situation. He was desperate. And when I thought about that, I thought, what times, Robert, in your life have you been desperate? And I remembered one when I was 5 years old on the island of Guam. At the beach, beautiful beach. And my brothers decided to teach me how to swim. And I didn't know how to swim. They took me out in deep water and they let me go. And I went down. Hit the bottom, bounced up, got it back there, and I went down again. Came up, didn't come out of the water. Bounced again, came up, didn't come out of the water. I was desperate for air. It's a good thing one of them finally grabbed me and hauled me off to the beach. But that feeling of wanting air and not being able to get it, that was real desperation. In 2003, my son was working construction, driving down the highway, and a piece of gutter and came out of his truck, and he pulled over the side to get it out of the street because he didn't want anyone to run over it, have an accident. And while he was leaning against his truck, waiting for the traffic to pass, a lady came up, wasn't paying attention, saw the guttering and swerved to the side and hit my son. And I remember I was having lunch with a pastor, and I got the call that your son Jeff is in an accident. He's at the hospital. So we got in the car. We're driving to the hospital, and I'm looking down the road, and I'm seeing this ambulance helicopter flying to the hospital. And I'm thinking, Well, this could be bad, but at least there's a helicopter coming. And I got in, went to the emergency room, and they said, I told them who I was. I said, yes, please go right here. And I remember turning the corner and hearing my wife wailing. And before I opened that door, I knew he was gone. And I was desperate. What do I do? I needed God in that moment more than ever before. And for many of us, we have had those moments in our lives where we have been desperate, where it seemed hopeless, where we were powerless, and we needed help. And that's, to me, that's where Jairus was. He was desperate. His daughter was dying. And so the title of my sermon was Got Faith? I saw a little sign coming up here that says, the side of the Got Milk? Yeah, it's right up there on 26. I saw it, Got Milk. I thought, that's my sermon today, Got Faith. Do we have faith? Really have faith? In desperate times? Even when God allows something that we don't agree with, do we still have faith? So, I came to this conclusion. Number one is this. Faith hopes. Faith hopes. Don't ever forget that. You never give up hope. For Jairus, could this possibly be true? Could Jesus be the Messiah? Could Jesus have the power to heal my daughter? And all of his anguish and desperation, with all the pressure from his peers that wanted to kill Jesus and making all these accusations about who he is, with all the negativity surrounding the fact that Jesus was not who he was, even his own family has rejected him at a point. But he decided, that's my only hope. I've tried everything else. Jesus is my only hope. You know, this little story in the Hunger Games, the first one, where they ask that question. What? And the answer is this. What we have to do is take away their hope. If we take away their hope, we can control them. And that's what the devil wants to do to us today. He knows if I take away their hope, I can control them. But faith always has hope. It never gives up. Second thing is this, faith acts. It's one thing to have hope. It's another thing to take action. Jairus decides to go to Jesus and he explains the situation, shares his daughter's condition and her desperate health situation. And considering his family, his finances, his position in the community, and all consequences that could happen, he decides to act, to go and ask for Jesus' help. And that was such a powerful decision because sometimes we go through life and we say, I don't know what to do, right? I don't know what to do. And so we don't decide. And whenever I've talked to people, I've told them not to decide is to decide. Right? Not to decide is to decide. And I love the fact that Jairus had hope enough to make a decision. I'm going to go and approach this guy. Everyone says he's a phony. He's not real. He's crazy. But I'm going to go ask him for help. So he goes and asks Jesus for help. He has his hope in Jesus now. He's decided to have the courage to approach Jesus. Jesus hears his request and he agrees to go home with him to see his daughter. But then in the middle of the story, there's this little side thing. This lady who's been sick reaches out and touches him and he feels the power released from him. And wants to know who touched him. And Jesus just stops in the middle of this very urgent situation to go home and heal his daughter who's very sick. And Jesus stops to address what went on with this lady. And I thought to myself, what was Jairus thinking when he stops? I mean, I'd say, hey, wait a minute. I was first in line. I came to you before she touched you. You know, you need to deal with my situation first. But let me tell you something about faith. Faith waits. You don't hear anything about Jairus confronting Jesus or telling his disciples, tell him to hurry up. My daughter's really sick. He was willing to wait and watch. What's Jesus going to do? Here's another need, a serious illness from this lady. And Jairus decides he's just going to watch and wait. As desperate as he was, he had also put his trust in what Jesus would do, when he would do it, how he would do it. So he watches and he waits. And I can't help but think, as Jairus sees this woman healed, that his faith, his hope, his faith gets stronger. But then, in the middle of this, his servants come to him and say, it's too late. Your daughter's dead. Tell the teacher it's over. There's no hope. She's died. Everything's already been taken care of. You don't need him anymore. Don't bother him. Because we really don't want anyone in the neighborhood to see you bring Jesus to your house, because that's just going to make matters worse for you. Your reputation, your position, your job, you could lose it all if Jesus comes to your house and she's dead already. So just forget the whole deal. And Jesus looks to Jairus and kind of waits for him to respond. What are you going to do, Jairus, now? You know, these people who came, his servants who came to him said, we've already called in the mourners, the flute players. You see, they were all set for her to die. Because back then, you know, they had to bury them right away. So they were all prepared. We got everything prepared. As soon as she dies, we have appointed people to play the flutes and people, mourners, to come to your house and come in there. Because what they did, that was their custom. The burial was so quick that the mourners would come and they would set the mood in the house for everyone else who might come when the child died. They would set this mood of weeping and wailing for everyone to come and mourn in their grief. And that had already taken place. The professional mourners were there. So there's no need for Jesus. But Jesus asked this question. And that's one of the things that I love, is Jesus always asks the right questions at the right time. He said, don't be afraid. Just believe. That could be a statement, but it also could be a question. Don't be afraid. Do you still believe? Your faith told you to have hope. Your faith told you to act. Your faith allowed you to wait. Does your faith allow you to believe when everything says it's too late? So he's at a crossroad, a turning point in his life. To still have hope or to be hopeless, to still believe or deny, to still trust or to give up. He had just witnessed the healing of this woman, but news was that his daughter was dead. It's too late, she's dead. If only we hadn't been delayed by this woman. My daughter could still be alive. What now? He chose to believe. And they go to the house. Because at that point, for Jairus, I don't care what you guys are telling me. I believe in Jesus. I'm trusting Jesus. And when Jesus and Jairus arrive, it says they laughed at him. I like what Jesus does. He sends out all the unbelievers. Get out of here. We don't need you. We don't need you. We only need those who believe, those who have hope, those who are willing to act, those who are willing to wait, those who are willing to trust. That's what we want here. And he sends them all out. And he goes over and takes the little girl's hand, tells her to get up. She gets up. Imagine how that felt. From desperation, death, to life. What a feeling. And I like it because Jesus says, give her something to eat. We're going to prove she's really alive. Give her a snack. You know, one of the things that sometimes we fail to remember, and it's something that being a part of the Church of God movement, healing was always a very important part of our history. I remember going to Anderson camp meeting, go to prayer meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning in the auditorium, and people praying and people getting healed. It's amazing, the power of God. And for me, you know, as a child growing up, I heard all about God and I heard all about Jesus, and I believed and trusted him. But when I was 15 and a half, I witnessed a healing and recognized the power of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly I thought to myself, now I have a complete picture of who God is. Not just God who loves me, not just Jesus who sacrificed me, but the Holy Spirit who brings power and healing and hope into my life. And I said, I've got this big picture now of who God is. I can't comprehend him completely, and I never will. But I saw him as I had never saw him before, and saw the power that he brings. So when we talk about faith, I always remind myself that faith hopes, faith acts, faith waits, faith believes, and the final one is this: faith moves Jesus. When we have faith, it moves him to act, to do what he wants to do, to bring hope and healing and help and health to his people. That verse in Matthew chapter 17, verse 28, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And we all know, it's not the size of our faith, it's who we put our faith in that makes the difference. Faith moves Jesus. Now, I just want to be clear here. Faith does not manipulate Jesus. Okay? Faith just acknowledges who Jesus is, what he can do, and trust him to do what he wants to do in those situations. But this is the truth. Faith takes courage. There was a Jairus was under that most difficult circumstances of loving a child so completely, breaking his heart. The question for us today is, do I have a genuine, authentic faith in Jesus? Or is my faith limited to the size of my pocketbook, or to my position in life, or to my own personal strength? Or to, is my faith limited to my persistently nagging God for things that I want? Am I so self-reliant that I sometimes cut Jesus out of what he wants to do in my life? the bottom line is this. Faith, genuine, authentic faith can result in ridicule, criticism, accusations of being not politically correct. It can mean you're going to be canceled, of people thinking you're irrelevant, of people thinking you're not tolerant. You know how things have changed, hasn't it? It used to be liberals that always say, you got to be tolerant. You got to be more tolerant. Right? That's what they said for years. And you got to be more tolerant of us. You know, we just have bigger ideas, better. You got to be more tolerant. So they told us to be tolerant, but now they're in a position where they say, we're not tolerant of you at all. Right? We're not going to be tolerant of you. You got to think the way we think, do things the way we think. And here's the kicker. They say, you're a Christian, you have to be tolerant. You have to be. The Bible says you have to be tolerant. You have to accept all of us and love all of us. We're not Christians, so we don't have to be tolerant. They turn that around, don't they? How they twist things. You know, the Bible says there's a transgression where we break the law of God. And we know that there's a sin where it means we miss the mark. Then there's a sin of iniquity, which is where we twist the truth to get what we want. And that's what's happening today. The world takes the truth and then it twists it for its own advantage. And that's a sin, the sin of iniquity. It's twisting the truth. And we have to be aware of that and have to look and determine that we have genuine, authentic faith in Jesus. I may have shared this little illustration, but I'll share it again about Henry Ford because I love it so much. Henry Ford helped to build the had his automobile assembly line come to a grinding halt, and he called General Electric for help. And so Charlie Steinmetz came, spent 2 days examining and listening to the machinery. He's an electrical engineer who helped develop the assembly line, automobile assembly line. After 2 days of just listening to the machinery, he drew a line on a pipe and said, cut it here and replace some wiring. He sent his bill to Henry Ford after he went back. I think it was to Chicago. He sent the bill for $10,000. Back then, $10,000 was a lot of money. And so Henry Ford writes and says, gosh, Charlie, for tinkering around, making a few simple repairs, $10,000? So Charlie Steinmetz writes back and says, for tinkering around and making a few simple repairs, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. You see, God knows where to tinker in our lives. That's why he sends the Holy Spirit to speak to you and do a little tinkering with your faith to make it genuine, to make it authentic, to make it yearn for his will to be done in our lives. Now, I'm going to make this statement. It's not political. Faith trumps fear. Okay? Faith trumps fear, which opens us up to trust. Trust trumps doubt, which opens us up to obedience. Obedience trumps resistance, which opens us up to accepting what God has in store for those who believe. Jesus is moved by our faith, and he will respond to it. We may not be fully aware of how he will respond, why he will respond, when he will respond, but we can be sure that he will respond. 2 Corinthians 5:7, one of my favorite verses, very simple. For we live by faith, not by sight. You know, growing up in the Church of God and hearing those great hymns of faith that we have, I love them. That's the mid-1800s. But you know, God inspired those hymn writers with those lyrics. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's still inspiring hymn writers and worship leaders to write new songs and new hymns. And if I read my Bible right, we're going to sing new songs and new hymns. And in heaven, there may be some songs we don't know because they're brand new. And we just need to use them. And I say that because as I close this message, I'm going to share a fairly recent song that has touched my heart, that really speaks to having a genuine, authentic faith in who Jesus is and what he can do. The chorus could end up being familiar for you, so if you can get it, you can sing along. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. My God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness, and that with me. My God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing.
are the same God. You are the same God. You move in power. You move in power. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer. You are a healer. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a savior then. You are the savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. You free the captives then, you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You touch lepers then, I feel your touch right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. We serve a God at your iris, sir. A God whom we could put our hope in. God who we could choose to act with. God who we could trust. A God who would meet our needs. We live in an age where we need him. We need him desperately. Say with me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Father, thank you. That we can not only believe in you, we can trust you. That you are our hope. You are our help. You are our healer. And we surrender ourselves to you this morning. We bless you for who you are and what you do in love for us. In a moment, we're going to receive communion. Just wanted to when I think about God's love and his sacrifice for us. One of my favorite passages of scripture is found in Psalm 23. As it comes to close, it says, your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you know, I thought about that because I thought, all of the focus in my life has been on your goodness. But it says your goodness will follow me, but your mercy will too. And why do we need mercy? When we blow it. God says, I'm not only going to be good to you, but I'm going to be merciful to you. In a moment, we're going to take communion and you can pass out the elements, and then I will share from the scriptures as we take communion.
We partake of communion because God wants us to remember. To remember his love, to remember his sacrifice. And we'll take the partake of the elements in a moment. But would you just join me in singing this song? Oh, how he loves you. Let me read the text for you. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake of the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Would you stand as we close? And let's just sing that. We can get the slides up. You know the words already, so I don't think you need. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus, how he did go. His love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Father, thank you so much for your love. I pray that you would go with us throughout this week, that you would use us to bring glory and honor to your name. Amen. Bless you.